Good morning, your Central Minnesota Farm Report on Chasm Radio. I'm Farm Director Joe Gill for your Saturday morning. Your program brought to you each week by Midsoda Manufacturing and Avon. Swing on in right on the south side of I-94. Hours today, 8 till noon at Midsoda Manufacturing. Well, a busy week. We saw markets go up and down, saw a boost late in the week when it came to grain futures, much of that due to China. As China purchased near record levels of U.S. farm products in 2020, and that pace is continuing here in 2021. Fellow farm broadcaster Michael Clements has more as he shares what that means for prices farmers receive for their corn and their beans as he checks in with the American Farm Bureau Federation chief economist John Newton.
New trade data from the U.S. Census Bureau shows China purchased a potential new record of U.S. agricultural products in 2020, according to American Farm Bureau Federation Chief Economist John Newton.
For calendar year 2020, China bought slightly more than $27 billion worth of U.S. agricultural products, which is likely a new record high in terms of exports to China.
Newton says China has already made large purchases of U.S. corn and soybeans in the 2021 marketing year.
China's been a very big player in the corn and soybean markets this year. So far, they've bought nearly 6 million metric tons of corn. They're on the books for more than 11 million metric tons of corn to purchase from the United States, which would be a record. On the soybean side, we've seen China buy more than 31 million metric tons of soybeans already, and they still have on the books nearly 4 million metric tons. So they've been a big player in the corn and soybean markets this year.
Newton says the increased trade with China has bolstered market prices for corn and soybeans in the United States.
I think what we've seen is since China's been such a heavy player in the market, it's helped to reduce our stockpiles this year, and as a result, we've seen prices move sharply higher in the last few months. Corn is now sitting at around $5.30, soybeans sitting around $13.50, and that's up 50-60% from where we were back in early August, and a lot of that's on the back of strong trade and export demand.
Michael Clements, Washington.
This week on Chasm Radio, we also spoke to many of our area legislative leaders. We had Senator Jeff Howe on the program this week. And here's one of Jeff's comments and views on an issue that is becoming more common on the surface of discussion, and that's regarding the California Clean Car Standards and Minnesota possibly adopting those.
And I don't know why they're dead set on bringing it. If you follow California, the governor has now made it to where they're going to have zero emission cars by 2035 or 20. Any, the way it is I don't think we can. Minnesota is not California. The battery life drops as much as 40%, and the cars. And they say, well, you can't get the electric vehicle you want. Well, I will tell you, I couldn't find the pickup that I wanted. It wasn't in the state of Minnesota, but I worked with my local dealership. They went out there and they found the pickup that I wanted, and had it shipped in. You can do the same thing today with electric vehicles. I don't think there's a vehicle out there that if you want it, you don't have a problem getting it. But what's going to happen here is we're going to end up having to ship in. If you can't find the pickup you want because there's all these electric vehicles, there's going to be a problem because it's not that they have to be sold in Minnesota, but they have to be sold in Minnesota, and the manufacturers don't have a problem with that because who's going to buy them? It's going to be the dealerships that have to buy these vehicles, and then once they get them on here, who are they going to sell them to? Because if people wanted them, the dealers would be asking the manufacturers to send them more of these. But that's not the case. So it'll be interesting. It seems like that they're going to do this. And they're circumventing the legislature is the biggest problem. If the people want it, come to the legislature. We'll make it happen. But that's not what I'm hearing out there. What I'm hearing is that people don't want to go to electric vehicles. And maybe it's the cost, maybe it's this. I don't understand why the governor has decided to circumvent, go around the legislature like he has for most things, especially during the pandemic, and institute this without the involvement of the legislature. And the downside is we can't stop it. But there is a common period. And I would suggest that everyone get on that website and provide your comments to the MPCA, who is driving this rulemaking process.
We'll get more details on the California Clean Car Standards and how they're being presented here in the state. As Governor Tim Walz had a few minutes to join us on Friday afternoon, we'll share his comments at 6:45 and also at 8:45 on Monday. Also this week, we had a chance to talk dairy with Peter Vitaliano, VP of Economic Policy and Market Research with the National Milk Producers Federation. And in regards to some recent numbers, we're seeing more cows, we are seeing more milk as well. And I mentioned that, Peter, if dairy as a whole, are we seeing more issues because we're kind of hurting ourselves by having more cows and producing more milk, doing a better job as we don't have necessary control over our supply, and therefore that brings up that conversation if it, one, it would be supported, and two, if there's any new talk regarding some sort of supply management practices.
You're referring to a conversation that has been happening in the industry for decades. The question is, do we let market forces and independent decisions guide how much milk we have, or do we manage it? And in general, compared to some other countries' dairy industries, the U.S. dairy industry tends to prefer that we don't have a lot of heavy government intervention in controlling, you know, managing the supply of milk. Now, what's very interesting, as you may have followed, is that last year, last spring, as the pandemic came on, and there was a very rapid switch in dairy consumption from food service to retail, those marketing channels cannot, you know, could not be instantly switched over, as you're well aware. You can't take an industry that supplies a lot of cheese in large containers of, say, frozen pellets of pizza cheese and suddenly divert that whole marketing channel to supplying small bags or blocks of cheese to retail supermarkets. So there was a period in which basically farmers were instructed, didn't last too long, but farmers were instructed to, they had to dump their milk because it just couldn't be processed in the facilities that were sort of feeding the marketing channels for the increased retail. And it led to a very interesting situation where dairy farmers were told to dump their milk. Then they would go to the supermarket and see the shelves were empty of fluid milk and other dairy products, and it was very, very disruptive. That got straightened out pretty quickly, but the interesting thing on that is that the dairy farmers and their marketing cooperatives temporarily addressed that problem by putting on voluntary supply manage, basic, what we call base excess programs that sort of restricted on a short-term basis the supply of milk that would be delivered to them. And it accomplished in 2 months a very rapid reduction in the supply of milk that was going into the system. Now, once those supply channel issues were sorted out, those restrictions were lifted. And as you can see, for a good part of last year, the dairy herd, national dairy herd, it grew, but it didn't grow uncontrollably. It sort of stayed about 40,000 cows above a year earlier for quite a few months. And milk production did not increase, but then toward the end of last year, it started growing again, and those are the reports you've heard. But it was interesting, that temporary supply, that temporary experiment in controlling supply through the cooperatives and dairy farmers who, you know, reduced 3 times a day milking down to 2 times a day and dried off cows earlier and so on, adjusted their feeding. It did show that that the milk supply could be controlled through that voluntary action fairly closely. But we're not looking for a repeat of that, at least not at the moment.
Peter Vitaliano, Vice President of Economic Policy and Market Research with the National Milk Producers Federation. That's your Central Minnesota Farm Report for this morning. Here on Chasm Radio, it's brought to you by Mid Soda Manufacturing in Avon. Have a great weekend.